Dear Heavenly Father, most precious Lord, Lord, you have blessed me, you have blessed me, you have blessed me way beyond my highest expectations. But Lord, today I'm asking for one more thing. I'm asking that you'll use everything that's within me and all that I have, that I might lift up the name of Jesus. And as someone here today, Lord, someone who's struggling, somebody who's in the wilderness, somebody who's having a difficult time with their faith, Lord, I just pray that something is said today that will draw them closer to you and glorify you, that you might save them and you might be glorified. In Jesus' name I pray and ask it all. Amen. Amen. Today we're going to be dealing with the book of Genesis. The book of Genesis, chapter 28. And I want to say welcome to our visitors. Thank you for coming by and spending some time with us. We appreciate it. Genesis, chapter 28. And since we're going to be dealing with the whole chapter, I want you to focus in on this one verse. Genesis, chapter 28, verse 16. And I want you to keep your Bibles open because we will be going through this chapter, and I want you to be able to reference what I'm talking about, so please keep your Bibles open. Genesis chapter 28, verse 16, reading from the King James Bible. And it reads, "And Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not." Those are some of the saddest words penned in Scripture. Surely the Lord is in this place. And I'm going to give you a modern-day translation. I missed it. God was right here with me all the way, and I missed it. I don't know what you could say to somebody like that. I don't know what you could do to kind of help them recover from that thought. Because he said, you know, here people pray for God. They ask God, come and do this. God, come and do that. And here Jacob is saying, surely, I know for a fact, I had a dream. God was here. The answer to all my prayers was right here. And I missed it. But I got good news for you. For those of us, I don't say those of you, I say for those of us who came to our senses at some point in our life and said, God was right here, and I missed it. Got good news for you. God is faithful. God is faithful. Today, if you allow me, we'll be speaking on the topic of great is thy faithfulness. See, we have a trend in modern day preaching and in modern day culture to where we want to empower us and embolden us and lift up us. And you can't even get your next breath. But I'm empowered. I'm a powerful woman. I'm a powerful man. And you might not even make it to that back door. The only power that you or I or anybody else has got to be found in the faithfulness of God. It's because of him that we live and we breathe and we have our being. And we have to fight that culture, that cultural shift of lifting me up as opposed to lifting him up. And it's really very subtle. It's very subtle. Pretty much it's called, they got a name for it. It's called psychology. Where the shift goes from God-centered to men-centered. You don't believe me? Go talk to any psychologist, any shrink, anyone that's not a Christian, but a person who comes from a biblical perspective. Talk to any of them. Talk to any of them. And the very premise that they start with is that you're good. I'm good. But it's our circumstances that make us bad. That's the premise of all modern day psychological teaching. That's just a statement of fact. And so you start with that as your premise and you work your way out. And so you're going to, every once in a while, you're going to get a right answer, but you're going to hit, you're going to miss an awful lot. But why don't you try this on for size? God says you're born with a propensity to sin. We're born with sin issues in us. And because of the sin issues in us, we impact those around us. I ain't hear no amens. Oh, no, it's those people, Pastor. No, it's not those people. It's just me. And if you start with what the Bible says, you'll at least be headed in the right direction when you're trying to figure out what is the problem with my life, what is the problem in my child's life, what is the problem in our society. Start with what the Bible says. The heart is wicked and deceitful above all things. Start with that. Now, you won't make it on TV with a talk show, but you'll be on track. Let's talk about great is thy faithfulness. I talk about these things about people being off track because for all intents and purposes, when you read the story of Jacob, you're reading the story of almost every man's life. I mean, it's just, he's just us. He's just us. And his name Jacob means trickster or the tricky one. He's the guy who's fast on his feet. He's the guy who's got the slick tongue. He's the guy, he can handle every situation. They had a song back in the day, for those of you who are real old, Superfly. He can handle everything. That was Jacob. He could handle everything. But let's see how it all began. Here in Genesis chapters 28, in chapter 28, I want you to understand we're dealing with a family of some pretty messed up folks. We have a family, and I'm so glad the way that the Bible comes at us. The Bible gives us the good, the bad, and the ugly. See, because if we were writing a book about ourselves, we'd never put in half the stuff that God puts in about Jacob and Esau and all his folks. We'd only have the good stuff. Well, God wants you to know, I see everything and I hear everything. So here we have this family. And you have a family, now get where the mother, you have twin boys. You have the mother and the younger brother of the twins conspiring together to usurp the authority of the father. They're conspiring together. And right here, you know, the Bible tells you there's nothing new under the sun. Right here with Jacob and his mother, you have what I see in the Bible, the first case of identity theft. You don't believe me? Read it. Read it. It's identity theft. Esau was supposed to get the blessing, and Jacob and his mama got together, and they put on some of Esau's clothes on Jacob, and then they took some lambs, kids, the baby lambs, and they killed them, and they put the hairy stuff on Jacob, and he went to his blind old daddy, and he said, His daddy said, "Who is this?" He said, "That's Esau." In this family that God is telling us about, you have this first case of identity theft. And oh, by the way, I want you to catch this. Since they had to kill the lamb, the goats, that's a sacrifice, y'all. Something had to die to cover up Jacob's sins. Identity theft. And then, now you have the mother and the baby brother conspiring against the father to steal the birthright from the older brother. And they're successful. They get the birthright. He steals the birthright. And then I want to tell you how messed up this family is. See, y'all think you think you have problems. The oldest brother, as he's fuming because he didn't get the blessing that he wanted to get, the oldest brother, the Bible says, he comforts himself. Look what the Bible says he comforts himself with. He sits there by himself and he ponders and he says, "You know, daddy's old. Daddy's old. And one day, when daddy kicked the bucket, little brother, you're mine." The Bible says he comforted himself. How do you comfort yourself with the thought of killing somebody? He said he comforted himself with the thought of killing his big brother. What a family. So now after we have all this going on, you wonder, how is God going to pull this whole plan off to use this family of all families to bless the entire world? How is God going to do this? I want you to know it's because he's faithful. Not because Isaac, not because of Jacob, not because of Esau, not because of Rebekah. It's because of God. We have here, they had just tricked the father into the blessing. And now, Rebekah, Jacob's mother, overheard her oldest son saying that he wanted to kill his little brother. So now they got to get him out of town. And that's where the plot of chapter 28 begins. Because the mother says, "You got to get out of here. We want you to get out of town. We want you to go to my family, find yourself a wife." And so now it begins in chapter 28. It says, verse 1, "And Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said unto him, Thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. Arise, go to Padan-Aram, to the house of Bethuel, thy mother's father, and take thee a wife from thence of the fathers of Laban, thy mother's brother." He says, don't get you a wife here. Now, here's a spiritual principle for you. He says, don't get you a wife here. These people here are heathens. Understand, it has nothing to do with race. Who you marry or who you don't marry has nothing to do with the color of your skin. It has everything to do with where you are spiritually. The Bible says, do not be unequally yoked. Isaac is saying to his son, whatever you do, don't get you one of those women from over here, because they ain't no good. They don't know nothing about your God. We tell our children that. Our parents told us that. And you know what? We still don't listen. God said, you don't pick a husband or a wife by the color of their skin. Illustration. Pastor Will, which one would you prefer? For your daughter to get beat by a black man, a white man, or a Mexican? Oh, maybe I just don't want my daughter to get beat. Why don't we get her a saved man of any kind of black, white, Mexican, whatever? Why don't we get her a Christian? Oh, no, Pastor Will. My culture won't allow that. You better wake up. You better wake up. God says, don't be unequally yoked. And he's talking about your spiritual life. He's saying spiritually, if one of y'all ain't saved, young ladies, young men, I don't care how good they look. I don't care how good they smell. I don't care how good they talk, how good they walk. If that man or that woman is not a Christian and you say you're a Christian, you say that you believe that Jesus Christ came, he died, and he rose from the dead, don't do it. Don't do it. Sometimes as we start getting a little bit older, we start saying, well, maybe. Okay, well, he doesn't go to church, but he prays. To who? To who? You better find out. Ladies, I spend an awful lot of time with women who say, I'm hooked up with the devil. Save yourself some grief. Before you hook up with the devil, find out where he's at spiritually. Isaac told his son, whatever you do, don't marry one of these women here. Verse 3. As Isaac speaks to his son Jacob, he references in verse 3, he says, and God Almighty bless thee. This is the first time in the scriptures where God is referred to as God Almighty. El Shaddai. The God who is capable of doing anything. The God who needs nobody. The God who created the heavens and the earth. El Shaddai, God Almighty. And when we understand that, if we know him to be God Almighty, it changes how we live our lives. It changes how we approach him. It changes how we think of, can I get through this? I don't know if I can make it through this. No, I can't make it through this, but El Shaddai can see me through it because he's God Almighty. And Isaac is telling his son, he's saying, son, and God Almighty bless thee and make thee fruitful. I'm in verse 3. And make thee fruitful and multiply thee that thou mayest be a multitude of people and give thee the blessings of Abraham to thee and to thy seed with thee that thou mayest inherit the land wherein thou art a stranger, which God gave to Abraham. He's giving his son a blessing. Isaac is blessing his son, Jacob. Think about this, y'all. Parents, I wonder what would happen if we would spend a little bit more time praying blessings over our children instead of telling them, you're just too stupid. What kind of children would we have if maybe, and please don't go to the extreme of where you don't ever correct your child. Don't do that. That's not biblical. But do you ever go to your child and lay holy hands on your child and ask the Lord to bless them? Do you do that with your grandbabies? Do you do that with your nieces? Do you do that with your nephews? That's what Isaac's doing here. He's saying to his son, he says, my desire. It's almost as if he's saying, I don't have much longer on the scene, but my desire for my son is that you be blessed of God. My desire for my son is that you find a godly wife. My desire for my son is that you have many godly children. My prayer for my daughter is that you marry a godly man. Pray it for your children and bless them and let them know that you have prayed for them. Let them know that you've asked God to bless them and let them know, most of all, that you asked God to keep an eye on them. It'll help. Amen. So Isaac has blessed his son. He's called upon Almighty God. He's called upon El Shaddai to bless his son, to prosper his son as he goes off to this land that he's never been to find a wife. But before he goes, the Bible tells you, just as like a little side note, it tells you down here in verses 6 through 8, it talks about the other brother, Esau. And I want y'all to think of the other brother, Esau, as the natural man. Jacob is of the godly line, but he's got that rebellion in him. But Esau's the natural man. He's the man, he's that man who just loves the things of the world. He can't get enough of the world. In fact, at this particular time in history, Esau was already married to two Hittite women, which he knew his parents didn't want him to be married to a Hittite. Not because of the color of their skin, but because they were an ungodly line of people. They had nothing to do with the things of God. So therefore, since Esau being the natural man, since he doesn't have anything to do with the things of God, he's going to find himself two women who don't have the... By the way, God made one man, one woman. But Esau had him two, and not only just two, he had two Hittites. And he overheard his father telling Jacob to go over and get him a wife from their other side of the family. Now, I for the life of me, I don't understand how the commentators came to... You have so many different conclusions. Some of the commentators say that they believe that Jacob was trying to be obedient to his father and he just made a mistake. I don't see that. I just don't see that in Scripture. What I see is Esau, a man who is constantly going against what... You know, if daddy said stand up, he sat down. If daddy said speak up, he shut up. He's always going against the things that God would have him to do. And I see here in this passage, I see Esau overhearing his father. And so rather than following his brother and going and get himself a wife from over on that side of the family, on his mother's side of the family, instead of doing that, he goes to the side of Ishmael, which is the ungodly line of the family. He was already a grief to his parents because of his two Hittite brides. Now, I think just because of his nature, who he is, his rebellious nature, he decides to go get him a wife that he knows will aggravate his parents even more. I know nobody out here would do that. I know nobody out here. I know that none of us out here, when our parents would beg us and beg us and beg, leave that boy alone. Leave that girl alone. I know nobody out here would say, but mama, I love him. I just love him. She's so pretty, mama. No, you don't understand. The girl ain't. She a floozy. She ain't no good. But I love her, mama. See, that's the natural man in us. The natural man in us just desires to be rebellious. We are rebels just because. We have no particular rhyme or reason, but if it's godly, we're going to fight against it. Look at our nation right now. Look at our nation right now. Everything that God lifts up, our news media, because I can't say everybody, because I know this for a fact. I know everybody hasn't turned against God, because everybody had turned against God, we couldn't even sit here right now. Because the Bible tells us there's going to come a day when the church is raptured up out of here. And the Bible says that when that day comes, he says the one who restrains is going to be taken out. Wait a minute. The one who restrains what? The Holy Spirit, the one who restrains evil, says he's going to be taken out. And when he's taken out, it's going to be hell on earth. So right now, we still have opportunities to stand. But in our nation right now, what's right is wrong, and what's wrong is right. Saints, it starts with our rebellion. Because God has said, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves, he said, I'll fix this whole situation. But we refuse to receive and understand God's faithfulness. We start saying we're outnumbered. We're outmanned. We can't do nothing. We're never outgunned, y'all. We're never outgunned. All you need is Jesus. Esau went ahead and he married him, this other woman, just to add to his parents' grief. Now we get to Jacob in verse 10. And here Jacob is, he's homeless.
Yeah, look at this stuff. It's right here in the Bible. I'm not making this up.
He's homeless. He can't go back to his parents' house because his brother's going to kill him. And he's going to an uncle that he doesn't know. And he's out in the wilderness. And the account that we see here starting in verse 10 is his first night out in the wilderness. I don't know about y'all, but, you know, some of y'all folks, y'all like camping out and doing stuff like that and being out with the trees and the this and the that. Give me Motel 6, okay? They didn't have no street lights out here. They got things that crawl in the night out here. I don't see where he had a sleeping bag, a water jug. He's just out here. And he's out here, and the Bible says that late at night. In verse 10, it says, Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran, and he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set, and he took the stones of the place and put them for pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. The Bible says that Jacob was out here by himself in the wilderness, in this desert area, and he laid down to go to sleep. And somewhere in the course of the night, he had a dream. Somewhere in the course of the night, God came to him in a dream. He wasn't looking for God, y'all. Thank God that God is faithful. Jesus said, I came to seek and to save. I came to search for you. You ain't looking for Jesus. He's looking for you. Jacob wasn't looking for a meeting with God out here in the deserts of Haran. But because of God's faithfulness, because of the promise that God had made to Abraham and Isaac, his daddy and his granddaddy, God was looking for him. God is looking for everybody out here right now. If you, maybe, just maybe, while we, you know, that old thing said, the hurrier I go, the behinder I get. Just maybe, for those of us who need a blessing from God, why don't we try this? Be still. Well, Pastor, shouldn't I get on the evangelistic? Shouldn't I get in the choir? Shouldn't I? Be still. And know that he's God. What does be still mean? Be still means be still. Stop running. Stop kicking against the goads. Be still and let God, because God will come to you. He said, you can't reach me. He said, but I'll come to you. And he'll speak to you. No different than he's speaking to Jacob right here. The Bible says that Jacob looked up and he had this vision, this dream, this vision. And he saw a ladder. He saw a ladder in the middle of this wilderness. The Bible, the commentary says that you should, don't think of it so much as like a ladder that you would put up against a house, but think of it more like an escalator, like what you would see in a department store where it's going. And he says, and in this picture, I see angels. I see angels going up, ascending, and I see angels descending. And then I look and above everything else, high and lifted up. Above everything, above all the angels. See, so don't be worshiping no angels. Don't be worshiping no dead saints. Don't be bowing down to no trees and golden calves. High above everything, he says, I see the Lord. And guess what? If he's high and above everything, if you see the Lord, he see you. He's looking down at your situation. He's looking down at your predicament. He's looking down at your homelessness. He's looking down at your heartbreak. He's looking down at your disappointment. He's looking down at your messed up marriage. He's looking down at your messed up kids. He's looking down at your messed up boss. He's there, y'all. He's there. In fact, they give you an account. Turn your Bibles to John chapter 1, verse 51. John chapter 1, verse 51. When you see this ladder, when you see this escalator, guess what? What he's seeing in a typology, what he's seeing in a type, is he's seeing a connection, someone, something that connects heaven and earth, heaven and earth. In John chapter 1, verse 51, look at what Jesus says. And he saith unto him, he's speaking to Nathanael. And he had told Nathanael that he saw him afar off. He spoke to Nathanael. He told Nathanael, he said, Nathanael, he said, I saw you while you were under the fig tree. And Nathanael said, what? How did you know? How did you know I was under the fig tree? He says, Nathanael, guess what? Guess what? Verily, verily, I say unto you, if you think that's something, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angels of God and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Jesus says that typology, he goes, that ladder that you see, that connection between heaven and earth, he says, that's me. He goes, I'm the way, I'm the connecting between heaven and earth, and I see everything. And I have come to seek and to save that which is lost. Why? Because God is faithful. Great is his faithfulness. Jacob sees this ladder. And when he's in verse 13, when he sees the Lord standing above the ladder, the Lord speaks to him. And the Lord says, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. I am. I am. Remember what he said to Moses at the burning bush? Moses said, who should I say told? When Pharaoh says and when the people say, who should I say told me to come down here and tell these folks to let my folks go? He says, tell them I am. Told you. What does that mean, I am? That means I'm the one who always was, the one who always is, and I'm the one who always will be. Ain't no God like this God anywhere near this God, so I must be the God. Amen. And I'm God all by myself. And then he proceeds to speak to Jacob. And when he's speaking to Jacob, and this is why that verse that we read, when Jacob said God was in this place and I knew it not, I want you to understand, when you see what God said to Jacob, he's speaking to him. He's speaking to Jacob. He says, Jacob, he goes, I am the Lord. And he says, he gives you six I wills. He says, I will give you, I am with thee, I will bring thee, I will keep thee, and I will not leave thee. God says this to Jacob. And this is the first place in scriptures where God has ever said to anybody, I will be with you. If you've ever called on the name of Jesus, if you've ever believed that Jesus Christ came, he died, and he rose from the dead, every one of those I wills are for you. I will be with you. How long, Lord? How long, Lord? Forever and ever and ever. That's the good news, y'all. That's the good news. But I keep wanting to fall back and rely on me, Lord, because I'm so used to relying on my own wits. I'm so used to being my own man. But God said, how's that working out for you?
You've been trying it a long time. You know, it's really sad to see a man who's 50, 60, 70 sometimes, and he's still thinking that he can work things out. Him and God got a special deal other than what God has said about Jesus. Ain't happening. Ain't happening. But I tell you what, don't give up on that man. Don't give up on that woman, because my God is high and lifted up, and he's looking down at your situation. You say, Lord, I want my daddy saved. Lord, I want my mama saved. Lord, I want my grandpa saved. He says, call on him. He says, because I will give, I am with thee, I will bring thee, I will keep thee, and I will not leave you. What a good God we serve, y'all. I'm just so glad when the people of God just take a little time, just be still, and listen and learn about what God has got in store for you. He ain't keeping it secret. He says it's right here. I want you to know it. And I want you to know it. I want you to act upon it. God had told Abraham to look. He said, Abraham, I want you to look. I want you to look north, east, south, and west. And he said, and everything that you see, I'm going to give it to you. Look where that same promise is reiterated right here in verse 14. Genesis chapter 28, verse 14. When God is speaking to Jacob, and he says, and thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad. He said, not, he told Abraham to look north, east, south, and west. He's saying to Jacob, spread west, east, north, south. You want to know what's going on over in the Middle East right now? You want to know why? You want to know why there will never be peace in the Middle East? Because God said, Jacob, spread out north, east, south, west. I'm giving it to you. And the devil said, no, you won't. And they've been fighting ever since then. You got the godly line of Jacob, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And you got the lineage of Esau and Ishmael. And that fight began way back here. And that fight will not be resolved until you get to the book of Revelation. Don't fool yourself about what you see in the newspaper about, we almost got a deal. You ain't almost got nothing. Because God is faithful. God told Jacob, I gave it to you. When the United Nations says, we got to decide who this land belongs to, will somebody please take them a Bible, take them over to Genesis 28 and say, I can answer that question for you. I can tell you who the land belongs to. Title deed. They don't want to hear that. And I want you to see where God, in verse 15, where the last thing God says to Jacob, he says, I will not leave you. And he says, I will not leave you until I have done everything I promised you. What promise did God make to you when you came to him? When you came to him running, snotting, slobbering down the aisle, talking about, Lord, I can't live like this no more. What did he tell you? Did he make a promise to you? Didn't he say, I'll give you rest. Didn't he tell you that? I know he told you that because it's in the book. Didn't he say, I'll give you, I ain't charging you, I'll give you peace. He told you that, didn't he? Why don't you have it? You know why you don't have it? Because surely God came into this place. Surely God came into my life. And I missed it. But oh, thank God that God is faithful. God is the one who seeks. God is the one who saves. God is the one who says, Jesus says, if I have 100 lamb, if I got 100 sheep, and one of them, he said, if one of them has the audacity to take off heading for the gate, trying to get out of Dodge, I'll leave the 99 and get the one.
You can't. He come to get you. Stop talking about, I can't find the Lord. You be still. Be still. And know that he's God. Some of us think he's God. I'm going to show you. And what I told you, Jacob, he's a pretty, you know, he's a man who's always lived by his own wits. He's a pretty peculiar character. I'm going to tell you right here, because we always want to do it our way. And when you see where he says, I missed it, let me show you what he does. And some people miss this. I don't want y'all to miss this. The Bible says that after he woke up, he took the pillows, he took the stones that he had, and he made himself a pillar. A pillar is a monument, a memorial. A pillar is something that you say, something special happened here today. This is a pillar. This is something special. And that's what he did. And some commentators said, oh, man, that was the time when he dedicated his life to God. He must be trusting God if he made this pillar to God. No. No. Because look what he says after he made the pillar. He said, I'm going to name this place Bethel, the house of God. He said, I'm feeling really good. I'm getting closer to the Lord, and I'm feeling pretty good. So I'm going to make this pillar, and I'm going to name this place the house of the Lord. And I'm going to vow a vow. But look at this. This is a very curious vow in verse 20. He says, if God. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. He said, he's vowing a vow, and he's saying, if God will. If God will be with me, and if God will keep me, and if God will give me, then the Lord shall be my God. Whoa, wait a minute. How you get that? What makes you think he's bowing down to God when he's saying that? No, he's trying to barter with God, just like some of us. We ain't going to bow down. We just want to barter. We want to play let's make a deal with God. Hey, God, if you ignore this sin in my life, I'll give you this part of my life. He had the audacity to say, if God had just told him, I will give, I am with thee, I will bring thee, I will keep thee, I will not leave thee. And he turned around and said to God, if God will. He's no different than 90% of us in this room right now. But we can change that. Be still. And let God be God. Be still. And let God do his work in us. I can't save anybody, but I can give them the word. That's what we're called to do. Jacob did not give his life to the Lord at this point. I don't believe. I don't believe it for one minute. Because when you sit there and you say, if God, no, you're not trusting God. So guess what happened? Guess what happened? Here's what happened. In Genesis chapter 35, verses 1 and 2. Here's what happened. Between Genesis 28, 22, up to chapter 35, a lot of things took place. Jacob's daughter was molested, assaulted. Jacob had wrestled with the Lord at night. Jacob had to come into contact, and he had, listen to this, I don't want you to miss this. Jacob lived in absolute fear of ever having to confront his brother Esau. Many of us we conduct our lives out of fear. We don't conduct our lives according to how God says move forward. We conduct our lives out of fear. I do this because I'm scared of that. And I do that because I'm scared of this.
when his brother came, read the account. Y'all read it for yourself. When his brother, when he met his brother in the, when he found out Jacob was coming, when he found out Esau was coming, the Bible says his men, Jacob's men came running back to him. Man, Esau's coming. And he's got 400 soldiers with him. And man, we're in deep trouble because the last time he heard from his brother Esau, what did his brother Esau say? I will comfort myself with killing you. And that was the last time he saw his brother Esau. And so now, after the Lord had wrestled with him, the Lord had dislocated his hip, put his bone out of socket. He can't run anymore. Now he's got to face his greatest fear, which is his brother Esau. And when they meet, I'm going to give you modern day translation. Esau say, how you doing, bro? Lord being good to you? Lord being good to me too. Have a good day. You mean I've been conducting my whole life out of the fear of encountering my brother? And when I finally can't get out the way anymore, I can't run anymore, I got to do what God has told me to do, which is be still. And that's it. That's it. He just said, have a good day. Lord been good to me. Lord been good to you. Fine. See you. Meet you over at the next city. Jacob went through all of that anxiety, through all that turmoil, through all that turbulence in his life. And you know what? You know what we have, what modern day psychology has the audacity to say? Well, you know, I had to do that. Otherwise, I wouldn't be the man I am today. No, you didn't. The Bible says seek wisdom. The Bible says seek wise counsel. We don't have to go through half of the stuff we go through. We're just hard-headed. We hard-headed people. We don't have to go through half the things that we deal with. If we will just, when God says, when God makes a promise, when God says that I will give, I am with thee, I will bring thee, I will keep thee, I will not leave thee. If we would just trust him, and let him move in our lives. But now Jacob has finally, I believe Jacob has got to the point now where he's ready to do more than give God lip service. See, because when we build a monument to God, that's just lip service. That's just so we could tell people, see what I did. You know, I don't smoke anymore. I don't drink anymore. I don't run around with my wife anymore. That's my monument. That's hey, look at me. Look at me. No. God did the things that he did to Jacob, because he had to break him. Now, when we get to chapter 35, after Jacob has gone through all this stuff, and young folks, I hope you're listening to me, because I want you to have a blessed life. I don't want you to have to go through some of the stuff that your parents that went through, some of the stuff that I went through. Don't be looking at your parents and say, well, you did it. Okay, if you see that I did it and you see how it worked out for me, why don't you do better? Jacob went through all these things. And in verse 35, it reads, and God said unto Jacob, Genesis chapter 35, verses 1 and 2, and God said unto Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel. You remember Bethel was the place where he built the pillar, where he made the pillar out of the stones, where he made the memorial. That's where he made the memorial, where he'd remember. He says, go back to Bethel and dwell there and make there an altar. And make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother. Then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments. Let me tell you the difference between a pillar and an altar. A pillar, when I stop smoking, stop drinking, stop doing, that's a monument to me. I want you to look at what I've done. And I'm gonna remember God somewhat, but basically it's what I've done. God says, I want you to go right back there. See, because if you read your scriptures, every place Abraham stopped, Abraham built an altar. What's the difference? A pillar is to lift up, an altar is to bow down. He said, I want you to go back to Bethel, and I want you to build an altar unto me, and I want you to worship me. I don't want you to rely upon yourself anymore. I don't want you to try to outwit everybody and everything in your own wisdom anymore. He said, I'm faithful. See, when you're bowing down, that's when you're your strongest. When you're bowing down to, when you're acknowledging the one who is able to fix that situation, that's when things start happening. And look what happens right after God tells Jacob. See, because like I said, the other folks say that Jacob got saved right there the first time when he built the pillar. I say he didn't. I say, you want to see a sign of a changed life? Look what he did. Verse 2, he looked to his household, husbands, fathers, single mothers, said he looked to his household, and he said, hey, y'all, I know some of y'all scared of talking to your children. I'm trying to give you some strength here. Because some of us have let our children get a little bit too far. Guess what? God is high and he's lifted up. He says to the head of that house, he says, I want you to go home right now. And you say, hey, y'all, put away all those strange gods. Anything in this house that don't glorify God is out of this house. Dogs, cats, whatever. If you ain't glorifying God, put it away. Yeah, but they're good. That's hard. I mean, you know, my kids are going to have a my kids are going to have a coup. They're going to try to overtake me. Well, what you do if your children want to have a coup, you hand them the banknote for your house and tell them, here, y'all pay it. Me and mama gone. If they want it, let's see what they can do with it. But I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, you better take control of your children. You got to take control of your household. Somebody has to lead and somebody has to follow, because if they won't follow you, what's going to happen to them when they step out into this God-forsaken world? Do them a favor. Stand up just like Jacob and say, put away those strange gods that are among you. Be clean. Change your garments. We're going to meet the Lord. Trust him, y'all. Pastor, I can't see that. Pastor, I don't know how I'm going to do that. Pastor, you don't know how far gone my household is. He's high, he's lifted up, and he's faithful. Be still and know that he's God. God bless you. God keep you. God strengthen you.